This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Have you ever been that hot?
In Las Vegas.
Not that hot. Probably why I'm going somewhere else.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Davante Adams was asked in his Twitter, where is Aaron Rodgers' neighborhood next year? And he wrote, mine.
Earlier on the show, host of Peacock's Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio. Texans head coach, D'Amico Ryan. Coming up, comedian and former Minnesota Senator, Al Franken. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. Holy smokes, are we coming on the air with a huge piece of news in the National Basketball Association, and as it usually does, in this time of year with a trade deadline over the next week while we're in the Super Bowl city of Arizona celebrating a Super Bowl week and an upcoming big game next week, as it always does at these times of digital and cable world that we live in, streaming world, obviously right here on the Roku channel. It comes from Adrian Wojnarowski. The Woj bomb of Woj bombs. Your head nearly popped off your neck when you saw this about 5 minutes ago, Christopher.
Dude.
So the trade deadline's next Thursday, and Kyrie Irving, according to Woj, has told the Nets he wants out. Now, look, Durant told the Nets he wanted out, and he's not out. He's still there, although he's hurt. And since Kyrie returned from his suspension because he tweeted out a link to one of the most odious anti-Semitic tropes that I don't know if Amazon still has it on there. I don't know why Amazon still had it available for people back then too. So let's throw the stones where they all belong. But since he returned from suspension from that, the Nets were terrific with Kyrie and Durant and Jacque Vaughn coaching. He returned from suspension on November 20th. They lost the next night at Philadelphia, and then two nights after that against Indianapolis, once against Boston on December 4th, and then won every single game until January 4th.
Yeah, they won 12 straight, right?
And then Durant gets hurt. They win the game in which he gets hurt. And then started losing. They lost four in a row, won two in a row, lost two in a row, won two in a row, and then got smoked by Boston, and now all of a sudden he wants out. I have no idea why. I imagine we will find out why. Is it contract related? I don't know at all. Feels the team isn't backing him up? I do not know.
Is it a plot to get to the Lakers?
Yeah, maybe.
With LeBron?
Yeah, Shams had it too. The franchise has been informed that Kyrie prefers to move on ahead of the February 9th deadline or will leave in free agency in July. So he's done with Brooklyn.
Well, then I would say that Brooklyn will be done with him. You want to, what, he'll leave? Or what are you going to get from him? Well, by the way, what would you, let's just say he wants to go play with LeBron now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what Manic said. Obviously, the questions now are if the Lakers can put together a big deal.
There's no way. What assets do the Lakers have? That's why they went and got Rui Hachimura, because
first
all they had to do is
10 years from now.
Because that's what they could flip Kendrick Nunn and 3 2s. But if the first round selections that they're allowed to give, which is what the next ones are allowed to give up, are 2027 and 2029, if I'm not mistaken.
You're not allowed to give back to back in the NBA.
So why would, and they've already given up other ones.
Right.
So why would the Nets take 2 1s so damn far in the distance? And the question is, if LeBron wants him here, and I would imagine he would, then if the Lakers don't do everything they can to go get him, how will LeBron feel about that one? And I have a feeling that the Lakers would do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, in a heartbeat, no matter what Kyrie's track record of tweeting stuff out or creating departures from Cleveland, Boston, now Brooklyn. And it's crazy that he would want to do this to the team he's always wanted to play for, as we saw in the video when he first arrived, that kid who grew up in the shadow of Brendan Byrne Arena in New Jersey, rooting for Drazen Petrovic and those Nets, you know, that he would do it to this franchise now. But there's, as you know, a lot of water underneath the Brooklyn Bridge and a lot of water over the Holland Tunnel to be discussed between the Nets and Kyrie.
I mean, all of his BS aside, he's been balling this year on
the
court.
He's been terrific.
27-5-5. He's an all-star starter.
Correct.
He's been great.
And all of this stuff is going to be, like, if he doesn't get traded. Now, what if he gets traded to the Lakers by next Thursday? Does he just sit out the all-star game? Because you're not going to bump a Western Conference starter, are you?
Well, the starter is not. They just pick teams now. There's no East and West, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. Very good. Good point. Thank you for that.
Yep. Team LeBron, Team Giannis.
So my my little rabbit hole I just went down was completely worthless. there you have it. First blush thought.
Dang.
If I'm the Nets, I'm thinking, again, this guy. Okay. You're Durant. You're sitting there coming back. What are you thinking? Get him out, right? Don't you think?
Yeah, get rid of
him. Or I don't know. They're so tight, and they're both in such rarefied air. Like, you know,
this might have been
take
why
me too.
Durant wanted to trade in the first place. Remember last offseason, he was like, I'm out. I'm done with this.
After Kyrie opted back in.
Right. Whether that was coincidence or not.
I can't figure it out. Sean Marks must be like, oh, my God. What's going on? You know what? I would say screw it. I would hold on to him, try to win a championship with him.
Yeah.
Say, Jacques Vaughn, sorry, you have to handle all this stuff. Kyrie, suck it up. You're not going anywhere. We told this to Durant last summer. We're not going to sit here and take the Lakers' first-round selections 4 years from now for you. We'll send you some other place where we'll get first-round picks and other players right now, and we'll reconfigure our franchise if we can do that using you as the chip.
You know who has a plethora of picks?
Who does?
The Thunder.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, isn't that where you do send people like him? Right?
People like him.
Well, I'm just saying. Paul George went there. I mean, people like him. I mean, you know.
A little disgruntled.
Disgruntled stars.
Yeah. Russ went there. Well, Russ was there.
That's where you send him.
Chris Paul, right?
Chris Paul went there.
Yeah. You go there, they hang there for a year, they touch up, and then they go somewhere else. And they keep amassing picks for down the line and draft terrific players like Josh Giddey and try and win games. Yeah. And at some point, they'll hit the win it now button again, right?
Because they've got the first pick for a seventh grader right now, a kid who's currently in seventh grade. So.
Is that true? That's true, isn't it?
I think, yeah, seventh or eighth grade.
Wow.
What a league, man.
Bronny James, essentially.
This league, man.
Not Bronny, Bryce.
Bryce is in like night. So.
This league, man.
Yeah.
That's what I would do if I'm the Nets. Sorry, Kyrie. Or say, who wants him? Get all these offers for him if teams want him. And send him to a spot where he doesn't want to go. If that's what's going to be as good for the franchise. And I don't know what are the Lakers going to do? They're going to flip everybody not named LeBron and Anthony Davis.
I mean,
and any other draft choice they still have left to go. I don't know how that could be better than what other teams can do, right?
It probably couldn't be any better.
But Kyrie on the Lakers would be amazing. What are you shaking your head about now? What do you got now? Is it something else?
I'm just shaking my head. Well, Jeremy Fowler of ESPN saying there's buzz that the Saints are suitors for Derek Carr.
Oh. Wow, that's out of the blue.
I know.
Why not? You mean to acquire him by trade? Like actually trade for him?
I don't know if they're going to trade for him or
why would they?
Just sign him.
That's great.
He's getting cut.
Good for him.
Yeah.
That's not a bad spot.
I think that's a great spot.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm just scrolling. And
wow, look at you.
News after news.
Okay. Let's take some phone calls. People have been waiting forever. Hi. Rami in Montana, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Rami?
Hi. So you pronounced it just like Dan, but it's Rami.
Okay. Very good. How are you, Rami?
It's all good. So we're Semitic brothers. I'm Palestinian. You're Jewish, and it's all about the peace process.
Okay, sir.
Especially this month, right, TJ?
Okay.
Please believe it.
So, yeah. So if you guys are ever in Montana, which you probably won't be.
Why? Why would you say that?
We have a bookstore here.
Rami, we're now on a first-name basis of me pronouncing your name correctly. Why would I not come to your state?
It's all good, brother.
Okay. We go places where
I want Yellowstone. Susie and I want to go. You know. That'd be great.
Heck yeah. I mean, so I'm in Missoula. I own a bookstore here, and I
so what's on your mind?
Throwing out. Okay, first of all, I'm really sad as a 49ers fan to lose DeMarco, D'Amico Ryans. Yes. And but I'm very happy as an Arab American and someone of color to actually, during African American History Month, witness like this dude being promoted, which he justifiably should be.
Yes, absolutely. Right? And going to a franchise. I'm sorry, Rami. I got a bolt here at the end of the hour. Thank you for calling. Call back. You know, for sure. Absolutely. Thank you, Rami. Especially since in Houston, where, you know, back to back coaches of color got one and done. And they are fortunate to have D'Amico Ryans available and willing to come. Someone of his stature, for sure.
And his, you know, the ties he has to that franchise.
Yeah, I mean, him talking about being drafted there, he met his wife in Bible study there. Yeah. I mean, that's exactly the type of coach you want to put front and center. A winner, somebody who's a leader. That everyone from J.J. Watt to Andre Johnson to all of his current players said this guy was born to coach. So, pretty cool. All right, here's what I'm going to do. Al Franken's going to come up shortly here on the Rich Eisen Show. But before we do, I want to give you, as I was going to do last segment, but we got waylaid by the fact that the Billy Joel channel on Sirius XM that my wife has been listening to so significantly and enjoying and got switched to the Whitney Houston channel. And then she called in talking about how it upset her tennis game to the point she abused her racket. we were going to do this last segment, but let's do it now.
Let's do it.
Every single week during these playoffs, I have given you the name of a player who needs to ball out for his team to win. And I've got one for the big game. The Monster.com Athlete of the Week is the guy who needs to get it done for the Kansas City Chiefs. It's not Patrick Mahomes. It's not any of these receivers. Certainly, you know, Kelsey. I'm going on the other side of the ball, and he is a Defensive Player of the Year candidate, and he is their best player on defense, and he needs to ball out. He cannot be swallowed up in the middle of that offensive line by Jason Kelsey. He cannot, if he's going to be out on the edge, be blocked by Lane Johnson. He cannot. He cannot. He's Chris Jones, and he's got to be coming for you. This guy has been terrific in the postseason in his career. And he has been against Cincinnati. He has been a guy who has gotten it done. Actually, in his career, he had not had a single sack in the playoffs until he faced Cincinnati this week. So he kind of turned it around. His first 14 games, as I said, you know, in these playoffs, he's been terrific. I meant these, not his entire playoff career. You take a look, his quarterback hits, he had as many on Sunday as he did in his entire first 14 games as a Chief. The way that he showed up Sunday is the way that he's got to show up two Sundays from now. Again, 3rd and 8, Joe Burrow at the time, what was being referred to on the other sideline as Burrowhead. That ain't happening anymore. Joe Burrow, tie game, 3rd and 8 from his own 35 with about a minute and change to go. Exactly the type of stuff that we've seen Burrow succeed and beat you from this situation. He gets sacked for a 7-yard loss, and it's Chris Jones's second sack of the game. And in his 2022 season, eighth sack of the fourth quarter, including the playoffs, he was the one who forced the Bengals to punt it back to the Kansas City Chiefs, and we all know what happened from there. So, he's got to do it again. And you got Jason Kelce, and you got right in front of you. If he's going to be sitting there right in the middle of that defensive line, as he does most of the time, and he's got to stop the run on the way to Hurts. That's what he's got to do. And if he's coming around the edge, he's got to make sure he beats Lane Johnson or Mailata or anybody who's in front of him. He's got to do it. He can't just have one of those pedestrian games. He cannot. If he does, I think the Eagles win it. And that's your Monster.com Athlete of the Week going into next week's big game. Sponsored by Monster.com. Monster.com can help you tackle the job search and make your next career move. It's time to get off the sidelines. Go to Monster.com and win the job hunt. Look, I know he's an all-pro, and I know he's one of the best that there is in the game, and he could win Defensive Player of the Year. Big, big whoop. He's got to have a big game. Of course he does. No, he really does.
He needs to wreck the game.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And I know I kind of misspoke at the very top of the segment here. In his first 14 games of his career, he was having pedestrian playoff games. Sunday, four tackles, three tackles for loss, two sacks, five quarterback hits. That's the Jones-a-palooza he's got to show up with in Arizona. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. When we come back, we're going to pause on the Kyrie talk and everything else and try and have a little bit of fun going down the memory lane with a Saturday Night Live original. It's getting back into the comedy world. Former Senator Al Franken right here on The Rich Eisen Show.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
Judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Al Franken here on the Rich Eisen Show. Our terrestrial radio audience just rejoin us again. Al Franken, former U.S. Senator from the state of Minnesota, but I remember you back from your Saturday Night Live days and so much more. New show next week, El Rey Theater here in Los Angeles. Go to alfranken.com for tickets. The Al Franken podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. So your stand-up act, is there anything from your first ever stand-up act that still works today? That you're using, or
no.
it's all completely new material.
My first ever was, of course, with Tom. But yeah, I started doing like speeches four or five years ago,
yes.
And I was going like, okay, this is just fun, mm-hmm. and just throw away, just do stand up, and it's some of it's about my career, some of it's about my. What's going on right now?
Yes,
some of it's very
topical.
Very topical. Mm-hmm. Very. We have a war going on in Ukraine, and
yes,
pretty awful. Awful stuff makes for humor sometimes. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately,
right?
I talk about Putin and Zelensky and that kind of stuff, but. There's actually no football in the.
Is that right? Okay, because again, you're a Vikings fan. And so when did you, like, what stadium did you first see a Vikings game?
Metropolitan Stadium. I was there, what we call the push-off.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, which is otherwise known as?
The Hail Mary. And it was like five.
The push-off.
Yeah. Tom Davis and I were there. It was like 5-0. The push-off was Drew Pearson pushed off.
Yeah.
and was not called for it. And
so you think the Hail Mary should have been disallowed? And so
yeah, it was clear. It was a clear push off, and that put the Dallas in the Super Bowl instead of us. We have this.
You need a, he's going through a flashback right now, you know. Okay.
Okay. Now, yes. A lot of people don't know this.
Okay.
Or may not remember this, but
yes, Al Franken,
the ref. Mm. You remember this? I know.
For which play we're talking about?
The push off. The ref who didn't call the push off that should have been called was hit by a pint. I think it was a pint Jack Daniels bottle.
Mm-hmm.
This is at Metropolitan Stadium, which was where the Twins played. So it was not made for football. But some guy from the bleachers hurled, and people drank a lot at these games because it was really cold.
Yes.
And I saw it arcing. I saw it. I saw a glint
yes.
coming from the thing. And it hit the ref and knocked him out. Do you remember
this? I do not remember this part.
Oh, this was... okay,
so I remember the catch, by the way. I don't remember what happened before
after
the catch.
Off.
Right, yeah, right, exactly. And then, by the way, the fact that you call this the push-off is similar to my friend Chris Brockman across the ways from New England, where we refer to the moment where Tom Brady fumbled after being hit by Charles Woodson in the snow as the tuck rule game. But you refer to it as what in New England?
We call it the snow game.
The snow game. They just focus snow. On the snow, yeah. Not the tuck rule, which how we all refer to it.
Okay.
We all refer to it as the Hail Mary. You call it the push-off. I find this just a fascinating dynamic that's somewhat...
I call it the push-off because it was a push-off. And that's why the ref got hit with the bottle. But you don't. Anyway, the guy was prosecuted.
Is that right? Yeah. I didn't know that.
So it's Minnesota.
I had no idea.
Minnesota, that is very uncharacteristic. First of all, I don't think the guy actually thought he could. It was an amazing throw. And I don't
better than most of the Twins probably in that stadium at that point in time,
well,
I would imagine.
Twins at that time, yes, we're not. Well, let me see. What year are we talking about?
You're talking about 1970 something. So,
35. Something.
I don't know. So you got.
Yeah. It wasn't our years.
Yeah, I suppose.
But anyway, so I've been a diehard. So this season, season was, you would think that if you, first of all Vikings fans know that it's not going to end well. It's just not. We've lost 4 Super Bowls pretty early on, and we just have had opportunities to go to the Super Bowl. Also, this year, I knew that if we got past, you know, we're in the first round and we're the 3 seed.
Yes.
My son and I had worried that we'd be the 2 seed. Which we would have needed to beat Green Bay, and we got clobbered by Green Bay, which was so embarrassing, and so signaling everything was going to happen, losing in the first.
Yes,
the Giants. But I was afraid that we'd be the second seed and then end up in the championship game with the Eagles
and get eviscerated just like the second week of the season on a Monday night. Well. I guess the Giants.
And you remember that evisceration.
Giants took care of business to avoid all that.
Yeah.
For Al Franken here on the Rich Eisen Show again, stand up show next week at the El Rey Theater here in Los Angeles. AlFranken.com for tickets. I have to jump in and go to the Saturday Night Live world with you if you don't mind. And how you got involved in that? How did SNL first come across your radar screen, Al?
Well, it didn't exist when I just got a call from an agent saying you've been hired to do this. And
as a writer, pretty much?
What happened is Tom Davis and I did stand-up in L.A., and this agent said, can you come in? You guys are great writers. Would you like to write for a variety, you know, a comedy variety show? And we said, yeah, but there's nothing on that we can do because the Carson show is on, which is great, but we weren't Mighty Carson art players, writers, or kind of that monologue kind of writer. Carol Burnett was another variety show on. It was a great show.
Of course.
Generationally wrong for us.
Yes.
Sonny and Cher, not a great show. Mm-hmm. Not right for us. So he said, write something. Why don't you just write a writing sample for something you'd like to see on the air?
Right.
So we wrote a newscast, a commercial parody, a sketch, which was a parody of Sonny and Cher.
Uh-huh.
and a conceptual film. And that was it. For those of you who
That's the tent poles of Saturday Night Live right there. Those are four of them right there, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, and believe me, they were not, you know, it wasn't exactly like what we ended up with. But actually, the commercial parody we wrote was on. And so, but it was 14 pages long. And I just wanted, I know that there are people who want to be comedy writers and want to, and as a veteran writer, I've been, people give me, like someone's nephew wants to be a comedy writer, and they'll give me 50 pages of stuff. And you can tell after a couple pages if this person has an original voice and is funny. And sometimes I'll give some critique, and they'll go, but I executed a premise.
Yes.
I go, okay, that's not it. You have to do it funny, and you have to have some kind of something that makes you a little different. So anyway, that's what happened. We just said, we were the only writers that Lorne hired that he hadn't met.
And so you get hired.
We get hired. We get there. We were paid as one apprentice writer.
One. That's it.
Somehow the Writers Guild allowed them to do that. So, but we were thrilled. It was our first job in TV.
When did you know that show was a hit?
This is funny because... Okay, so we get the cast starts with Danny Aykroyd and Gilda are there, and Jane Curtin and Lorraine. Belushi wasn't cast yet, but I had met John, and I said, well, of course. And then he did Samurai as his audition. And Chevy was a writer, not a cast member, and got cast. And there was Garrett and Jane, Lorraine, Gilda, and Danny and Belushi. And I remember turning to Tom at one point and saying, this show is going to be a giant hit. And Tom, who, you know, we'd been in show business for 2 years, but he was like, nothing. I mean,
right.
And I go, no. It's the first time this generation has been allowed to be on TV.
Right.
Look who's around us. We, you know, they're the best of the. And so I was sure that it was going to be a hit.
And obviously it was. Al Franken here on the Rich Eisen Show. Fast forwarding a couple of years later, the Stuart Smalley character that you played, where was that born out of? What is that?
Well, I've been very public about this. My my wife's in recovery, and I'm in recovery from being a codependent. So I used to go to Al-Anon, and I still do every once in a while. And Al-Anon is for family members and friends of alcoholics.
Yes.
And there was a guy in a meeting who said that he knew the higher power had put an apartment in his life. And I went, this guy's ridiculous. And then the next week at the same meeting, he said something that hit me very profoundly. And I said, oh, I see. You can learn something from everyone. And everyone has something important, somewhere. And so I kind of model this character a little bit after him, of someone who really, really needed this 12-step program, and who every once in a while would say something that you would go, oh my God, that's really valuable.
So where did the catchphrase come from?
I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me.
That just was something that you just created? Or did he actually say
No, he hadn't said that.
Oh,
but
okay.
I thought the Stewart character wanted... He had all these insecurities, but he wanted everyone to understand the tools of recovery.
Right.
And part of it is saying, I'm good enough. I'm sufficient.
Yes.
And so that was, he got some good, Stewart would say things like, it's easier to put on slippers than it is to carpet the entire world. And that's like brilliant.
It is. And then the last one on this one is, who was the one to pitch the idea to Michael Jordan to say you should go on the Stuart Smalley sketch, like the most self-confident individual of all time?
That was what was great about this, which was that kind of has become, I even had Ted Cruz come up to me on a Monday and go like, Al, I was watching an old SNL rerun, and I saw Stuart Smalley with Michael Jordan. That was brilliant. I'm going like, you know, Ted isn't such a bad.
So that, yeah, that. Well, so that obviously cut through, but did you have to explain to Jordan what it was, or did you know? He got it. He knew it. He was in. He was in from the beginning.
He completely got it. I had to tell him, don't break.
Yeah.
You know, because he kind of was in the dress rehearsal kind of breaking. And he, I said, you know, and it was fine if he almost broke.
Yes.
So, but it, every once in a while, you know, you're doing a live TV show, and sometimes it peaks on air and sometimes it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And that one peaked on air.
Now, Frank, and here on the Rich Eisen Show, before I let you go, let's hit Trading Places. When did you first get involved in that film?
Well, Aykroyd, of course, you know,
yes,
was our connection there. And so we were baggage handler, stoned baggage handler number one and stoned baggage handler number two.
Yes.
And in it, when we got there, the first thing we did was do a scene where we smoked a joint. Later, in the shooting of the movie, they had Eddie smoke a joint in the bathroom, right? Mm-hmm. So they took our smoking a joint out. And so that, of course, motivated all our performances or afterwards. So instead of stone baggage handler number one and stone baggage handler number two, we were just sort of idiot baggage handler number one and baggage handler number two. So we just, you know, and it was weird because we just were in our trailer and then they hadn't really written lines, and then we came out, and it was improvised.
You improvised those?
Yeah.
Is it true that the character of Clarence Beeks was originally slated to be G. Gordon Liddy, or that's a false story, and that he didn't want to do it because he heard what happened to the ape at the end with, obviously, Clarence
that
Beeks?
Last part sounds not true.
That's false.
Yeah. Right. The other part, I have no idea. You'd have to ask someone else, but it sounds like it could be true.
That's what it sounds like.
But that's why things that
happen
is. But I knew Liddy. I did a sitcom called Late Line where I had him on like two or three times. He was very funny. A terrible guy in many ways, but still really funny.
Right.
In an odd way.
But, I mean, that film still stands the test of time, Trading Places. 1,000,000%. I'm sure you must hear that all the time.
I hear that all the time. It's nice to hear. It's nice to hear.
Even though you're just right at the end playing idiot, not stone baggage claim, but baggage handler number one.
It didn't really hurt.
It didn't.
Like, someone is going, no one went.
Fantastic.
Why are they acting so spaced out?
It worked. It's a great movie, man. It's so much fun. So best of luck on your show at the El Rey Theater in Los Angeles, alfranken.com for tickets. New episodes of the podcast available wherever you get your podcasts. You recently guest hosted Jimmy Kimmel. You're going to hop on The Daily Show? You're going to guest host The Daily Show?
Yeah, sometime. Trevor Noah stepped down or, you know, moved on. And so I've been watching... D.L. Hughley's been on this week. He's been very good. It's very interesting to watch it with different hosts taking it different places.
Right. I mean, that sounds great. I will be out there watching when you do it.
Cool.
And thank you for being here on this program. Best of luck to your Minnesota Vikings in the future, sir. Hey, the Twins are pretty good too, though. I mean, the Twins are getting better, you know?
They're always getting better.
Except.
Unless when they don't.
By the way, I love the push-off. I can't wait to mention that.
Why,
too.
Go.
Yes.
Look at the film.
Doesn't lie. The eye in the sky doesn't lie. He actually pushed off. He
pushes off.
Okay. I'll mention that to Drew Pearson next time I see him, see how he handles
it. Please do.
At Al Franken on Twitter and Instagram. Check out again the Al Franken podcast. And then next week, you're here in Los Angeles on Friday, 8 Eastern time. Check out Al Franken at the El Rey Theater. We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show to take you to this weekend in a moment.
It was a push off.
Thank you. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show with our terrestrial radio audience, we just had a guy call in saying, you know, I don't know if I can get to the big game or not. And Brian Cranston, friend of the program, is giving away two tickets to the Super Bowl, airfare, two nights hotel, ground transportation, and he's going to arrange a time to meet the winner and a guest in person. Only $5 a raffle ticket, BrianCranstonBigGame.com, and all the proceeds go to Big Brothers, Big Sisters of America. How about that? Sitting here at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger is the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Let's do it. Let's hit the weekend. It's time for a What's More Likely here on the Rich Eisen Show. Hit it. Hit it.
What?
What's more likely?
Never say never, but never.
All right, Christopher, what do you got over
hey
there?
Hey, guys. No NFL games this weekend, so I've we're doing a lot of kind of hypotheticals here. Just throwing it out there. Who's more likely to win the most games in their first season? Frank Reich or our two guests, D'Amico Ryans?
Oh, man. I'll go, wow. I don't know, man. I'll go Frank Reich. Do you know Steve Wilkes damn near almost made the playoffs? DJ Moore, bless him, had kept his helmet on in Atlanta. They might have. Not to blame it all on one guy. It's a team game.
You think it's going to be Sam Darnold? You think Sam's going to keep the game?
I think they might surprise us and go get a veteran, but Darnold is going to be there. And maybe he turns Sam Darnold into that playoff quarterback that Jets fans hoped he could be and Panthers fans almost saw him to be this year. So I'll go there because I have no idea who the Texans are going to have at quarterback or what they're going to put together. And I'll go Carolina.
Assume it's a rookie in Houston.
I will go. I think it's going to be.
Yeah.
I'll go Carolina.
How about just who's more likely to just hire a head coach first, Colts or Cardinals?
Good one. I'll go Colts because I think the Cardinals are waiting for Jonathan Gannon of the Eagles.
Ah, okay.
So if they're going to go for the defensive coordinator of the Eagles and the Colts are not, then they don't have to wait. So I'll go Indianapolis, although I heard they're having third rounds of conversation.
They're really being thorough.
Yeah.
Just to hire Jeff Saturday.
Do you think that's where it's going to land? Or maybe they're just waiting for us Saturday to brand it properly
happened.
And say we're introducing Jeff on a Saturday.
Stranger things have happened. How about this one? A lot of talk about where these two guys might end up. Who's more likely to make the playoffs with their future team next year, Jimmy G or Derek Carr?
Without knowing where they're landing yet?
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Hey, look in your crystal ball.
I'll go Derek Carr, because who the hell knows if Jimmy G is going to have surgery something on something or somewhere. Okay. And you're already saying that Derek Carr might go wind up in
there's
New
already
Orleans.
Saints rumors.
Man, if you put Derek Carr in Tampa also.
Yeah.
I kind of dig that. I'll go Derek Carr. I like that guy.
So do I. Not that I don't like Jimmy G.
Of course.
I like them both. What's more likely to be a bigger storyline next week? Mahomes' ankle or Hurts' shoulder?
Hurts' shoulder.
Hurts' shoulder. Yeah, he's saying it's not.
Hurts' shoulder. Yeah. Mahomes' ankle. I think we're all ankled out, man.
Ankled out.
We're ankled out. Yeah. I think neither of them are going to be the story. I think the story of next week involving Jalen Hurts is going to be, you said you thought Philadelphia, people didn't want you drafted there. He's going to be asked that question, and we'll see what his answer is when his first media availability is and how that might keep things going. Anything to do with Hurts will be his past or whatever, not his shoulder. And Mahomes, it's just going to be, you know, Brady's gone. Are you the guy now? And, of course, he'll just stick those aside. I don't think there's any question about his ankle anymore after what we just saw. That guy, I mean, geez, that performance will be – if we're doing a top 10 power rankings of his career later on, heaven forbid we're still on the air that time.
Yeah.
That AFC championship game's on the list for sure.
I agree. Who's more likely to finally get over the hump and make the Super Bowl next year, Bills or Cowboys?
Inside shop here. It's TJ Jefferson versus Rich Eisen Show coordinating producer Mike Hoskins. Mike, I'm taking your team. taking your team.
Also, two teams we talk about.
Of course you are.
Get your damn act together.
Why am I not?
Of course you are. I mean, you don't like the Cowboys. It's very clear.
This guy.
It's very clear.
This guy. No, you know what? I'm just going to go with the junior varsity team. You know what I mean?
I mean, at least you know.
I think I'd take the Cowboys. It's just easier. Why? Easier road. NFC kind of stinks.
NFC don't stink.
I would take the Bills. And Josh Allen.
Based on
Von Miller coming back, based on this team tightening the bolts. And I'm sorry, brother, I need to see a couple of games of Mike McCarthy dialing up plays for himself. How that's going to look. And what the Cowboys are going to do to actually put weapons around Dak. Like, if they played the game right now, Bills win this football game. If they play the game right now, if suddenly we...
How can you say that?
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
How can you say that?
Yeah. Hold on.
I just did.
Hold on, Rick. When did Kyle Brandt host this show?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Look at you. Look at you.
The hate.
I worked out yesterday.
The disrespect is real.
I did. Yeah. TJ, I'm with you. I'll take Cowboys.
I'm noting this.
What else?
Note the time.
What's the most likely Rodgers neighborhood next year? Green Bay, East Rutherford, or Las Vegas?
Soho.
If I had a start bench cut, I start Packers, bench Vegas, and cut the Jets.
Man, you are in denial right now, yo.
Why don't you want him?
It's not that I don't want him. I don't think he wants it.
What, follow Favre?
Why would he want to go to New York City?
Because your team is good.
The team is so good. His favorite receiver of all time is sitting there in Las Vegas saying, ask me anything, and throwing wet kisses to him verbally on Twitter. And then did you see he posted on his Instagram stories, you know, back shoulder throws from Rodgers? Like, come on. Why wouldn't you want to go to Vegas and hang with Davante Adams again and go out there where you're just out there in Nevada where there's, what, one newspaper, couple of newspapers, maybe a couple radio stations like the one that we're on every single day. Instead of New York City?
I don't think Aaron's
shying
away.
You say is parsed and talked about and thrown in your face or not. Why would he do that? All the pressure that comes with all that stuff.
He can handle it.
But I'm saying, why would he want it?
He's an egomaniac and he would be on the back pages every single day.
Here.
Maybe he wants a challenge. It's a challenge,
man. If I had
to
start bench cut it, I start Green Bay. He's not going anywhere. Okay. I bench the Raiders. That's where I would want to go if I was him.
Yeah.
And cut the Jets. Like, why does he want to do that? Oh, yeah. You're not following everything that you've done, you know, is exactly as Brett Favre did it, with the exception of retiring and unretiring and then retiring and saying, oh, no, I still don't mean it. I'm unretiring again. Can I have my job back? After you've moved on to the next kid, meaning you. He's not going to do it. I would be stunned if he did. So, what else?
All right, last one. More likely, LeBron breaks Kareem's record against the Thunder or the Bucks?
I'll go Bucks.
63 away.
I just think these things always work themselves out. It's going to be Bucks. And all the people who spend $79 million on tickets to watch the Oklahoma City Thunder will be like, you know, hitting their apps to buy tickets in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, right.
So.
There you go.
It's brought to you by Monster.com, which can help you tackle a job hunt and make your next career move in life. Because this is the time for you to score your next job in your life. You have to go to Monster.com. Bring your A-game to the job hunt by going to Monster.com. And you can join that new team by going there and seeing millions of job openings. Monster.com has millions of them. Great coaching and career advice for a strong performance when it counts. Plus, when you upload your resume to Monster.com, you can be recruited by employers before they even post their jobs. Monster.com specializes in building the right teams for employers and knows how to match you with those job fits. And when you score the position, there's a salary calculator that ensures you're paid what you're worth. That's what Monster.com is all about. Time to get off the sidelines and go to Monster.com and win your job hunt. Monster.com. Boy, do we have a monster week next week. We just added to our Super Bowl show in Arizona in person. Shirts off, everybody. It's Bert Kreischer. He's in town doing, he's on tour in town.
Yeah.
He's going to join us.
Let's go.
The machine.
And so I have the guest list right here. I don't know if we're going to announce it just yet. Should we announce it just yet?
Give him a tease, man.
All right.
Give him a tease. Just a little taste.
I'll be there.
Okay. Joe Montana, Charles Woodson, Stephen A. Smith, and Dion.
Ooh,
George Kittle and Diggs. Sean Payton's still scheduled to come. I hope he does. That'd be great. Kurt, Irv, Mooch, they'll all be there.
Nice.
Monday show, our next guest on this program is J.J. Watt to kind of tell us what's going on in Arizona.
J.J. Watt.
The retiree. He's going to retire and go to the Hall of Fame with Brady. Same class.
That's going
to
be great.
Ian Eagle, who's calling the game internationally on the world feed, he'll join us. Lots to talk about with Kyrie, too, right? He calls Nets games.
Yep.
Jared Goff and Tom Coughlin, meaning we will get his side of the story that Jesse Palmer told us and delighted us and the digital audience that made it viral about explaining to Tom Coughlin he needs to do The Bachelor because Jim Fossil had already committed the Giants to allow him to do it. Fantastic story. All of it. You can listen to the NFL and the NFL app on WestwoodOneSports.com via Westwood One on station streams or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports. If it's the NFL, it's on Westwood One. All right, guys. Great week.
We made it.
Next time I see you is in Arizona, right?
The Marines will be going in first.
You're going in. You're going in early. You're setting up. You're getting it all set up.
Boom. So when you guys get there, boom.
We're doing a Monday show and a Tuesday show here and then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday in Arizona next week. How exciting is this right here on the Roku channel?
Back. We're back.
We are back, aren't
we? We're back.
Mortimer, Randolph, Lewis, Billy, Billy Ray. And speaking of which, we had Al Franken on this program today.
Mr. Beeks.
As well as Mike Florio and D'Amico Ryans. Thanks to everybody. We're back to wrap this show up on Roku in a moment.